Now going back to this scripture for this series in Colossians 2:8, Paul said, "See to it that no one takes you captive." Look at somebody and say, "No one." No one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Paul was recognizing a threat of impending various lenses and philosophies and ideas coming into the body of Christ. And we talked about a lot of those, and today we won't review those. You can look those up online. But the bottom line is we are charged to make sure that we see life, that we see God, that we see His Word, that we see the things of God through the proper lens. And last week we learned that the first part of that lens is the lens of creation. And there's so much, if we would just stick to Genesis, you and I would stay out of trouble.
That's right.
Amen. Genesis tells us that God created us and created the whole world. End of story. God made them male and female. Can I have an amen? End of story. He blessed us. End of story. And if it ever was His will to bless us, it's still His will to bless us. You hermeneutic students should say, first words matter. The law of first utterance means God blessed us, and that's still His desire today. There's so many wonderful things if you're looking through the lens of creation. Now, what the lens of covenant does, it helps you understand God's dealing with man. And if you focus through that, you see a perspective very different from religion and tradition. Basically, Western Christianity says you get saved, and then you never know what God's going to do. Well, guess what? We do know what God's going to do, because in His Word, it's recorded for you and for me. But you have to see His dealings through, listen, covenant, not a God that is arbitrary, capricious, inconsistent. Lens of covenant tells you just how stable and consistent and deliberate and faithful He actually is. Going to have an amen.
Amen.
So I want you to see some scriptures by way of introduction today. And understand that when we talk about covenant, we're talking about cutting the covenant. And it's a phrase from the Word of God that refers to the ancient ritual of making a covenant by killing and cutting an animal in half and then walking between the pieces. You actually see this play out in Genesis with Abraham and God. And what it basically means is, everything I have, now you have. My enemies are your enemies. My friends are your friends. My goods are your goods. Your goods are my goods. We are one. And if any of us break this covenant, we will be like the animals that have been slaughtered here. In other words, that's how much God has committed to covenant. He passes through, endorses the covenant. But we see in Jesus in Hebrews chapter 8, a covenant that far surpasses what God did through Noah, what God did through Abraham, what God did through David, can have an amen, what God did through Moses. What Jesus has done surpasses them all. It's built, the Bible says, on better promises. If all I had today was the covenant of Noah or the covenant of Abraham, I could be supremely and profusely blessed. But what we have in Christ blows all of that away. And yet the Western church lives far below their privileges and understanding. This is the scripture from Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which He is mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. For if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant. And I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will establish with people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I'll be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me from the least of them to the greatest." What a great promise. Amen.
Amen.
"For I'll forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. By calling this covenant new, He's made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear." In other words, God was faithful. They weren't. God provides for us a covenant in Christ that wipes all that sin and failure away.
Amen.
In Jesus. Hebrews 9:15. "For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that He has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant." In other words, when the Father looks at you and me, He looks through the blood amen, of Jesus Christ. That's how he sees you today. He sees you as holy, not because you are perfected, but because of his blood. He sees you from a new perspective. The problem is, even to this day, there are a lot of Christians that don't see themselves through that blood. God does, but you don't. And you walk far below your privileges and victory level because of that principle. How many are glad that he looks through the stained glass window, amen, to see you? And aren't you glad that no heavy rain of sin can wash that away? It's permanent. It is sealed for you and for me. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their heart and write them on their minds. What you're talking about here, church, is a sacred and irrevocable covenant between God the Father and Jesus Christ, and you and I are the benefactors of that. Say covenant three times. Covenant. It is a serious, serious matter. Yes. It is sacred. It's irrevocable. And since it's based on the perfection of a father and perfection of a son, amen, your imperfection is not relevant. Are you here today?
Yes.
Hebrews 13. Now may the God of peace, verse 20, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Eternal covenant. Looking through the lens of covenant gives us clarity, and it gives us confidence, and it gives us certainty, and it gives us boldness, and it gives us gratitude. Aren't you glad there is a covenant? Come on, say it. It is sacred, irrevocable, eternal, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it deals with your sin, and it deals with your destination, but it deals with everything else in life. And looking through that covenant lens, you begin to see things differently. You don't see yourself as a weak worm of the dust, a black-hearted sinner. Can I have an amen? You don't see yourself as less than everybody else. If you do, you're looking through the wrong lens. Got a little religious scratching on your lens. And a little traditional fog on your lens. Amen? And a little what mom and them said. What you need is what the eternal word of God says about covenant. And then look through that lens so you can just see how great and good your God actually is today. What is a covenant? It's God's will. The covenant provisions reveal his perfect will. When you know the covenant, you know what his will is. And it doesn't matter if somebody comes along years later and says, well, you know, we were taught or we believe this or, you know, I never heard it preached that way. If it's in that covenant, it's God's will. And if it's God's will, then it's irrevocable. So we have this idea that God will just do whatever he wants to do. And if you, you know, press upon him and you believe him and you go to him and you ask something, you know, you never know what he's going to do. Covenant strips that thinking completely. We do know what he's going to do. It's also God's sovereignty. This concept of covenant reveals God's sovereignty because he sovereignly decided to get into covenant with mankind. He didn't have to do that. Having done that, you and I are benefactors of it. And if you want to see God's sovereignty, all you have to do is look through the lens of covenant. In the Western world, and particularly with the influence of Calvinism, they will tell you, don't look through the lens of covenant, look through the lens of sovereignty. I'm here to tell you that covenant is his sovereignty. And since covenant is his sovereignty, it's important for you to look through the lens of what? Of covenant. In other words, if God has established covenant in his sovereignty, he's not then going to turn around and violate that covenant because he's God. Again, the imagery of the animals split in two and walking through them. May this happen to either party if they break this covenant. The problem is Americans don't understand covenant. They understand contract. They understand loophole. They understand threat of litigation to do what you said you would do. But there are no loopholes in this covenant. And it's not a contract. And it's not something that you can even litigate. It just is. And when Americans begin to renew their mind, Christians in the West, to what it actually is, it changes everything. Suddenly, you have great boldness and confidence and excitement. You in this church should be thrilled about your future, amen, because you're not looking through tradition or religion or what man them said. You're looking at what God said through the lens of covenants. Come on, say it again. It's sacred, irrevocable, eternal. That's what you need to hang your hat on. Well, God in His sovereignty, you never know what He's going to do. The person saying that has no revelation of covenant. That's the problem. Covenant's God's way. It's how He dealt with man in the earth and ultimately through His Son. It's how He does what He does. Covenant is God's word. Literally, the Old Testament and New Testament literally mean what, church? Covenant. His word and covenant are one. And God will not violate what He put out in His word. Scripture says in Psalm 89, 34, my covenant I will not break. Come on, shout that out. My covenant I will not break. Come on, say it again. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. See, God doesn't break His covenant. That's what man does. In Psalm 105, verse 8, He remembers His covenant forever, the word that He commanded for 1,000 generations. Come on, say it, I'm part of that. Come on, say, I am part of eternal, fixed, sacred, irrevocable covenant. Aren't you glad you know Him today? I said, aren't you glad you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. I want you to see today that covenant, first of all, is a covenant of grace, which means it preaches exclusivity. You Christians are narrow-minded. Yes, we are, because there's only one who put in motion this covenant of grace. You and I are taught correctly in Scripture. It is by grace you have been saved, and that through faith. Luke 22, 20, Jesus said, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant of my blood. Jesus is the only path to salvation because grace is only through Jesus Christ. That's why there's one name, amen, under heaven, given among men. By what? By which we must be saved. Romans 4, 16, therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace, may be guaranteed to Abraham's offspring. Not only to those who are of the law, but also those who have the faith of Abraham. This is a covenant of unmerited favor. It's a covenant where God through Christ is disposed to show favor to you. Amen. Say it with me. I am. Look at your neighbor and smile and say, I'm sorry to tell you, but I am emphatically God's favorite. Now look back and wink at him and say, I am too. Through him, favor is what God has in mind for you. Glory to God. Opportunities and open door and the power to accomplish them. When grace comes in, a powerful thing happens. It changes us. This covenant of grace will transform us. It gives us abilities we did not have before. You're able to do things now you couldn't do before. David will be able to do things after this service he wasn't able to do before. That's how grace and favor work. Not only changed and empowered, this grace will make you what you're supposed to be, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not because you've arrived or because you're perfect yet, but because He took your sin and gave you His righteousness. I'm so glad He took my sin. Amen. Amen. He took your sin too. Some of y'all had a great big pile of sin. Glory to God. Aren't you glad He took it? Amen. You know, talking of stinky smells, bless God. When grace comes to us, it changes us, gives us abilities we didn't have, and makes us righteous. That's His plan. I was listening to a Catholic priest one day, and everybody say, God bless the Catholics. And he was being interviewed by a particular individual who was in the media. And he said, do you believe me as a Jew that if I don't accept Christ, you know, then I don't go to heaven? Well, the Bible says, make it very plain. You know, if you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. We don't make the rules. We didn't write the Bible. Church can have an amen. And here's what he said. He basically explained this way. And I want to point this out to you because this is the danger of us trying to use our brains instead of sticking to the covenant of God. He said this. He said, Christ is the privileged route to salvation. In other words, he's made a privileged way, a special way, a powerful way. But it's not the only route. He said, your conscience and your own moral code can lead you to salvation. Well, that's not scriptural, but that's what's out there today. There is one road. It's narrow because there's only one way. Few find it because they refuse to accept that way. But you have chosen us. God has chosen to box his sovereignty in the covenant. You've chosen to look through that lens and no other lens. Yeah. There aren't 15 ways to heaven.
No.
All roads don't lead to heaven. There is a heaven, there is a hell. And it's through the covenant of grace by faith that you and I enjoy a relationship with him and the confidence of our own salvation. There's no such thing as a privileged route, you know, to salvation through Christ and another route. There's just the privileged route. Amen. And we're privileged if we accept it. Anybody here privileged because you accepted it? Come on, raise your hand and say, I'm privileged because I accepted it. You know in your heart of hearts, you can never do good enough to win God's approval to make it to heaven. Your righteousness is as filthy rags, the scripture says, but thank God we don't have our righteousness. We have his righteousness, and that's because of this covenant of grace. Some of you need to make sure you're looking through that because some of you are harder on yourselves than anybody else in your life. Amen. You'll even strive to cut grace to different people and encourage other people, but you look in the mirror and you give yourself none. Listen, you can't be a part-time gazer through this lens. You're either looking through the lens of covenant or you're not. Look at your neighbor and smile and say, I know you do stupid things, but give yourself a break. Anybody here do stupid things from time to time? Just remember that Forrest Gump said, stupid is as stupid does. Amen. I don't recommend you get your theology from Forrest Gump. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. A lot of Christians believe that.
Yeah, right.
I wonder what's going to happen today. I wonder what else God's going to allow today in my life. If you were looking through the lens of covenant, you say, I know exactly what's in that chocolate box.
Yes.
Because I have the authority to fill the box of chocolates.
Yes.
Now, I know what some of y'all do around Valentine's Day. A box of chocolate shows up. You nibble on all the bad ones and put them back, and you take out the ones that you like. You're a Valentine's Day box spoiler. That's what you are. Say it with me. Through covenant, we know what's in the box. Amen. There's salvation in that box. There's healing in that box. There's provision in that box. There's deliverance in that box. There's guidance in that box. Amen. There's victory in that box. Hallelujah. And yet you got Christians running around saying, I just don't get it. Amen. It's all about where your gaze is at. Romans 5:2 tells us that we access this grace by faith. So it's also a covenant of faith. But if we don't believe that we have a covenant and all the rights that go with it, there's nothing to help us. We've got to believe that we're in a covenant of grace.
Amen.
Not a covenant of works. Not a covenant that is flaky, amen, unpredictable, arbitrary, or just temporal to this life. It is eternal. We've got to believe what the word says about that lens and then look through it every single day of our lives. Amen. I'm looking through the lens of covenant because a high price was paid for me to have that right.
Amen.
If nobody else wants to, that's their prerogative. But say it with me, I am looking through the lens of covenant. It's a covenant of grace. It's also a covenant of peace. Listen to these powerful words from Isaiah 54:10. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Ezekiel 37:26 says something similar. I'll make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers, and I'll put my sanctuary among them forever. Where does God live today? It is inside of you, not with temples made by man. This means that no matter what happens, God will maintain a covenant of peace with his people. He will maintain a situation and a static state of shalom in your life. Nothing missing and nothing broken. It means that God has made a divine promise to reconcile you with him, and he promised that you would have well-being in your life. Amen. When you read scriptures like 3 John verse 2, and people make fun of it and call you all kinds of names, and name it and claim it and blab it and grab it bunch, those prosperity people, those faith people, they misunderstand because they're not looking through covenant. That's right. 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. If you're right with God, you get to claim Isaiah 54:10 and Ezekiel 37:26 that it's going to go well with you. Right. Hallelujah. Through that covenant, amen, of peace, he has reconciled you and me to himself, and he deposits in our life well-being. Yes. That's how good he is. Amen. The war is over. God's not mad at you. He's not ready to hit you in the head with a baseball bat and knock you into the next county. He has nothing but eyes of love towards you, his children. Amen. The covenant of peace tells you that there's peace with God and there is a sense of wholeness in your life that you can access. But you can't see it looking through other lenses. It's a covenant of his great grace. It's a covenant of his peace, and it's a covenant of his loving kindness. And Deuteronomy 7:9, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to a thousand generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Say, I'm one of those generations. This means that we have a covenant of loving kindness, or what the Hebrew says is chesed. One mention of this word means mercy. It's God's commitment to alleviate the distress we or others cause in our lives. Can you raise your hand if you ever cause distress in your own life? Oh, no, Pastor, it's all from other people. The altar is open for liars today if you want to come down. Let me try one more time. Is there anyone here that ever caused themselves distress in this life? You made choices. You did things. Well, it's caused by you and it's caused by others. But chesed engaged, God doesn't care who caused the distress. He has compassion for you. It's God's covenant love for his people. It's active. It's engaged. It's involved. God is not 10 billion miles away. Amen. He's a very present help in time of need. He is for you, not against you. It means loyalty, faithfulness, kindness. And I love this particular description. It means prompt help. Western Christians have been taught, well, you could pray till you're blue in the face, but he may or he may not show up. That's because they're not looking at their lives through covenant. His loving kindness is prompt in its action. His chesed, his kindness towards you and towards me is guaranteed by covenant. I don't have to wake up tomorrow wondering if God's going to allow something to bash me in the head because I'm under covenant with him. I'm under chesed, amen. And there's so many Western Christians believe that, yeah, you never know. He may just pull out on you and expose you. Yeah, things happen to people, but listen, don't mistake, you know, the God who is a covenant-keeping God with the devil who's trying to destroy the work of God in your life. How in the world can you have confidence in a God and you never know exactly what's going to happen? Covenant fixes your understanding on His character and His integrity. That's why. I'll tell you why we're not sure what God will do and what He won't do. Because we look at people and that's what they do. But God is not like people. He's not a man that He should lie. Through the lens of covenant, you see that it's a covenant of loving kindness. And when you understand covenant, you would understand today that He can't do things that violate His covenant to His people. Not that He just won't do. He can't do without breaking His own oath. Amen. He would self-destruct Himself. Listen, understand the concept here. And we know He literally can't. But He keeps His covenant through 1,000 generations. Whatever's bugging you, whatever's messing with you, whatever's trying to get under your skin, whatever's attacking your body, whatever's attacking your finances, whatever's going after your kids, your grandkids, it's not that God allowed it. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and life to the full. He's looking through covenant. Aren't you glad for that today?
Amen.
Said, I have a covenant that gives me peace. I have a covenant that gives me grace. And I have a covenant that gives me loving kindness. Hesed means loyal, steadfast, faithful love based on a promise, agreement, or covenant. He's covenanted to dispense Hesed to you and to me. Glory to God. God has obligated Himself by covenant to bestow Hesed upon His covenant people. We give Him everything we are and have, and He gives us everything He is and has. I want to say this again so I can drive out the last screaming bit of religion from you today. God has obligated Himself by covenant to bestow Hesed on His covenant people. Kindness. He didn't have to do that, but that's exactly what He did in Christ. I can know one thing, that the garbage going on in my life or your life, it's not coming from God. It's coming from my own stupidity or the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It is not coming from Him. Yeah, but I was always taught this, and I was always taught, yeah, you were taught a Western Christianity so far divorced from the covenant lens, you can hardly even find the lens. That's the problem. Hesed means proactive engagement in the lives of His people to show or demonstrate that love. You've heard sermons on Mephibosheth. I've talked about Mephibosheth a lot. Everybody say Mephibosheth 15 times. Go ahead, say it. Let me know if you're spitting by the end of that one. But you know that David had a covenant with Jonathan.
Yes, he did.
And Jonathan and his father and his entire family wiped out. Mephibosheth escapes, though injured. And he's planted in a place called Lodabar, a pastureless place, a barren place, a dead place. Amen. And minding his own business, David comes to a prompting, I believe, of the Holy Spirit. He wonders, is there anyone left of the line of Saul that I can show covenant kindness or has said to? See, showing kindness when you're in covenant is not an option. Some of you married folks need to remember that. If anybody deserves has said in your marriage, it's your spouse. Say, I am obligated by covenant to be kind to my spouse. Pastor, I didn't come here to hear that today. There was no marriage seminar, bless God. And David was obligated. He's the king. He'd do whatever he wanted to do. He's the king. No, a king in covenant just can't do whatever he wants to do. And a God in covenant just can't do whatever he wants to do. So he sought out, and this man was found. and his servant Ziba brought him back. And watch what happens. We understand that Chesed pursued him and it pursues us. Chesed promoted him and promotes us. Chesed provided for him, put him at the king's table, restored his lands, made his own people farm his land, and gave him the produce. It provides for us. Chesed preserved him, and it preserves us. Chesed protects him, and it protects us. You understand today, when you look through the lens of covenant, it's not God getting up on a bad day and decided that he's going to teach you a lesson. He is self-constrained by covenant to do what the word says. A sovereign God was not obligated to write the scripture, was not obligated to make covenant. He was not obligated to do any of this. He did it all out of the goodness and the graciousness of his heart. But now he is obligated to be what? A good God. When you sing a song, I mean, like goodness is following you and pursuing you. That literally means chesed. That's the word. Look at somebody and smile and say, covenant kindness is pursuing you. Amen. Some of y'all remember Smokey and the Bandit. Jackie Gleason was in hot pursuit of the bandit. And I'll leave out the colorful language he used. Covenant kindness is in pursuit of you. I just feel like everything's against me. Things that are bad, they're pursuing me. All this stuff, you know, where's God in it? No, goodness is pursuing you. This is part of the renewing of the mind and a decision to look through a lens that God has directed us to look through as people of God. And that is the covenant lens, amen. Romans 5:8, chesed is demonstrated. It is action. God demonstrated his own love for us in this while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. This is very different from you never know what God will do, or God in his sovereignty can do whatever he wants, because God in his sovereignty subjected himself to covenant and he will not violate what he has uttered. Amen. You all need to put a big old smile on your face and say, why, Pastor Art, why? Because God has integrity. Shout it out, my God has integrity. That's why he won't break covenant. God answers prayer based on covenant. Most people still believe he answers prayer based on his arbitrary will. There's that silence again, Tim. He answers prayer based on covenant, because covenant reveals his will. Some of you have been taught, and I can't help but you've been taught, but you weren't taught it here. Amen. All of us have been baptized in a little religion. Some more than others. And some of you were taught. You go and you ask God, and sometimes he do. And sometimes he don't. Sometimes it's a yes, and sometimes it's a no. Listen carefully. If it's in the covenant, it's a yes. If it's a no, it's because it's not necessarily in the covenant. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? So you begin to look at the scripture through the lens of covenant. You begin to understand it's not just moralistic. It's not just a little bit authoritative. It's not just even inerrant and infallible. It is covenant language. Right. And I look at it and I see a promise in there. I don't have to sit back and say, well, you know, I wonder if he's going to say yes or no. Oh, gee, I hope he says yes this time. No, it may feel like it's slow to come at times. Yeah. It may feel like it's not on your timetable. Yeah. And don't you fret, because how many times has God had to deal with you and you put him off?
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. A delay is not necessarily a no. But understand, if it's in the covenant, in the word, which is a reflection of his will, it's yes. That's why the Bible says all the promises of God are
yes.
Yes, maybe you never know. They're yes, and they're amen. Does that make sense? When you go to church, you shouldn't walk out without faith in God to do the incredible things he wants to do in your life. You ought to walk out here with yourself expanded in your faith and growing in your capacity to receive from God. You need to walk out of here. If you find a command, a redirection, a rebuke, or a promise, you must understand that is the will of God. It's a yes. Well, you know, sometimes we see people receive from God and they don't, so it must be a no. Have you ever, ever asked God to forgive you and you heard him say no? Why not? Because you know what the covenant says. Let me ask this side. This side's too quiet. Have you ever asked God to forgive you and you heard him say from the cosmic heavens, no?
No.
Is everybody sure about that?
Yes.
You're 100% sure that the covenant, the will of God, the word of God indicates that he would forgive you every single time,
yes,
with only what? One exception, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Are we in agreement?
Yes.
That when you ask him to forgive you, when you have sinned, he forgives you every time.
Amen.
Is everybody on the same page?
Yes.
So he said yes.
Right.
And when you did it again, he said yes. Amen. And when you bit your neighbor's head off, he said
yes.
Amen. And when you cussed that person who cut you off in traffic and you repented, and he said yes. And then you did it again, he said, no, that's enough. I'm done with y'all. No. Okay. You believe he says yes every single time, not based on circumstances or how you feel, but by a revelation of the lens of covenant. This is what he does. Go over to Psalm 103. And it's one of the purest examples of covenant language you'll find. And this is what we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper over. Smile at your neighbor and say, I'm in a covenant of grace, of peace, and of loving kindness. Psalm 103. Just want to read a few verses for you. Anybody else love this chapter like I do?
Yes.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. An absolute, direct, plain reference to covenant. Say it, covenant. Shout out again, say covenant. He is talking about what? Covenant benefits. And what should you be doing as he admonishes us to praise him? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. That's what you ought to be doing right now. Why? Because it's dawning on you there are benefits to being a part of this covenant.
Amen.
Regardless of what religion and man has told you, amen, you rejoice. He says, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction of the pit and crowns you with chesed. Are you here? Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now watch this. When you're looking at this psalm, understand. Say it, it's covenant language. Say it, Psalm 103 is part of the covenant lens I should be looking through. And what does it say? Covenant means that God says yes to forgiveness of all sins. Say it. He says yes to forgiveness of all sins. Covenant means God says yes to healing of all diseases. Now what you're doing right now is you're trying to process your experience against this covenant language. And the devil wants you to do that so that he'll put you in a position of non-resistance. When you are dealing with something physical, you fight. But you are not fighting with carnal weapons. You have the eternal covenant of God to say, you know what? Just like my sins are forgiven, he says yes to that. He's a healer. A lot of our people are running around destitute and sick and beat up in the Western church because they've been taught you never know what God's going to do. We're ashamed. God put that on you to teach you a lesson. They don't understand that a covenant God does not use the tools of hell to teach his people.
That's right.
Covenant means God says yes to healing.
Yes.
Come on, shout it out. My God
says
yes to healing. That's why when I started this, that I said, do you believe that you are in a covenant through Jesus Christ? Do you believe that you have a covenant of grace and peace, amen, and loving kindness?
Amen.
Covenant means God says yes to redeeming you from the pit, delivering you. You've been delivered from spiritual death, sickness and disease, poverty and lack. Do you believe he's a God that delivers from the pit? God, deliver me. No. God, deliver me. He says,
yes.
Covenant means God says yes to crowning you with chesed, loving kindness, obvious favor, and blessing. The Western Christian says, oh, I don't want to say God bless me. That's kind of selfish, you know, and I would want to just think about myself. You're missing the point. God had the idea to bless you before it ever crossed your mind. Amen. Thousands of years before you ever thought of.
Yep.
He had in mind that he would bless his people. So the bottom line is, he says yes. Under an old covenant understanding, Jabez went out to the hillside, lifted his hands and said, oh, that you would, wait a minute, I'm a Western Christian, I can't ask that. That's kind of selfish, Jabez. Little devil sitting on his shoulder, that's really selfish. Think about all the needs that are out there. You know, what a hungry, starving people over there in this land and that land. You know, how dare you want to build a church building? Or how dare you want to build a tool like a jet for international and continental travel to preach? How dare you want to do this? How dare you want to build this building for this or do whatever? How dare you want to do that with all the starving people? In other words, God can only do certain things. God is small, not because he's small, but because we've made him small. And guess what? Jabez didn't bat an eye. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Amen. Keep me from what? Bringing pain. He didn't bat an eye at the prayer to be blessed. You and I sit here today because our covenant lens is broken, destroyed, or completely annihilated, and we're ashamed. What you're ashamed of, you can't have. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. The lens of covenant includes you having the right to ask God to bless you. Lift your hand and say, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Oh, Pastor, you know, he's going to say no. He says no to me all the time. No, he's not saying no to you. Stay in faith about it. Covenant means God says crowning you with loving kindness is his plan. And then covenant means God says yes to satisfying you with good things, spiritual and natural, that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, elderly eagle will have to pay a high price to go and be renewed. I mean, beat his head against the rocks just to remove his beak and pluck out those old feathers and make room for a new beak. Make room for new feathers. Make room for renewed strength. If he's willing to pay that price, he's willing to do what's necessary, he comes out in strength and majesty once again. Some of you are like that old eagle. You need your youth renewed. And he promises to give you what is necessary. Amen. So that you're restored and strengthened. Age really is just a number. Amen. It's just as you get older, you may have to believe a little harder than you did when you were 12. Amen. It satisfies you with good things. Put in your mouth things that are wholesome and healthy and spiritual. The point is, when you recognize covenant language, the Word of God is covenant language, you know He's not saying no to you. What a relief that is. The answer lies somewhere else than the covenant and the will and the Word of God. We've got to renew our minds to this. Because God has great things in store for you. Amen. But you can't keep on looking through the lens of religion and tradition. What that group says, what this group says. So I tell my hermeneutics class, take your denominational glasses off and stomp on them and pick up the lens of the Word of God in covenant and see for the first time what God has made you to be and to do. Amen. Amen. Say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. When you start seeing the Word of God as covenant language, it changes everything. If it's covenant language, then the parties involved are bound to keep the terms of that covenant. It'll revolutionize your thinking. It'll empower you to believe. Are you still going to have to fight the good fight of faith? Yeah, but it's easier to fight the good fight of faith from the foundation of truth and integrity. Amen? Now, in front of you, you have some elements. If you don't have some, just raise your hand. Glory to God. Aren't you glad that He willingly went to the cross for you? Amen. Thank you, Father. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do you believe that today?
Yes.
As you drink today, remind yourself that there is a covenant lens to look through and commit yourself to viewing your life, your purpose on earth through that lens of covenant. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Does anybody here believe He actually paid that sacrifice?
Yes.
To do what? To establish the covenant that we've been celebrating all morning long. A covenant of grace and peace and loving kindness. The fact that God's not mad at you. God's not against you. He is for you truly. Amen. And so as you receive today, make this a prayer in your heart that God will give you full revelation of the covenant He established that day. Because only by revelation and knowledge can you fully appreciate the things that you heard today. And there's only so much that flesh can do. The teacher has to show you these things. But I tell you, when you wake up one day and say, you know what? I've been looking at the wrong lens and getting robbed left and right. That's over. Come on, say, that is over. No, I'm partaking today in full faith and assurance that He wants me to understand this covenant and view life through that lens. The body of our Lord, broken for you. Thank you, Father, for your mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness. It endures forever. We bless your holy name today. Now lay your hands on somebody that's near you right now. Say, Father, open up the eyes of their understanding to see the truth of your covenant, the price that was paid, and the benefits given. Help us to understand life from your perspective. Blood was shed for a better covenant with better promises. So I pray over them the fullness of God's grace, the fullness of God's peace, and the fullness of God's loving kindness. For I understand it's through looking through that lens that my brother, my sister will live out life abundantly in His will, in His purpose, in His victory. I bless them today. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for revelation knowledge. In Jesus' name. Now come on, worship with this team today.